right, you primitive screwheads. Listen up.
Guys, we have a code red.
You mean code red the hospital emergency alert, code red the computer worm, or code red the cherry-flavored soft drink from makers of Mountain Dew?
One ring to rule them all.
One ring to find them.
Oh, Jesus.
One ring to bring them all.
And in the darkness, bind them.
Do you know what the problem is with you kids today? You guys think that all science fiction started in 1977 with Star Wars.
Where's my super suit?
What?
You tell me where my suit is, woman!
What about movies like Forbidden Planet, The Day the Earth Stood Still, Solaris? What about Logan's Run? Did you ever see that?
No, it's probably some dumb sports movie anyways.
Sports movie?
Okay, we gotta put a spotlight on this geek stuff, man.
What the fuck are you bitches babbling about?
We need to bring this to the mainstream, to the people.
Wow, this is even better than I imagined.
We have to show the world that it ain't just about comics and toys.
I have to possess this comic.
Hey, I tried to teach you how to handle comics in the sixth grade, but oh no, you wanted to play Little League instead.
Looks like a really rich fourth grader lives here.
Look at this place, man.
Oh look, he's got a billion toys.
I have a Mego Isis action figure.
Mighty Isis.
We're not about dressing up as Green Lantern.
How often does one see a beloved fictional character come to life?
Every year at Comic-Con.
And hoping for that one day, that one fracking day, for Cylons to bring us down a possible space-age future shit.
That's exactly what it's about.
Oh, really? Yeah, this shit ain't gonna work.
Oh, man! I'm still geeking out about it!
All right, look. There's only one return, okay? And it ain't of the king, it's of the Jedi.
Looks like we got more Lucas hounds here to mock Roddenberry.
You'll have to excuse him. He's not down with the trilogy.
There's only one trilogy, you fucking morons.
Oh, Star Wars geek.
Oh, I'm the geek? Look at you two whipping out your preciouses.
I'm gonna kick your ass back to the Shire if you don't shut your fucking mouth.
Where are the stars in this piece of shit?
All right, guys, you have your mission. Go forth and wreak havoc.
I say we stay here and fight it out.
Come on, you fuckers think that just because a guy reads comics he can't start shit? I'll fucking take all you want!
Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good.
Why are you screaming?
I'm testing the level of the mic.
The mics are fine, sir.
Okay.
We've had no complaints after that third episode.
A few in and we finally maybe have it right.
Look, it took a couple to get back on track.
Uh-huh.
We're back on track.
Okay.
And now we're doing shows.
Lovely.
They sound all right from what I understand.
Do we want to go right into the news or do we want to address the controversy?
Well, we can address the controversy as part of the news. But why don't we, before we get to that, why don't we say this is Big Kev's Geek Stuff. You are Big Kev. I am OG. Don't forget, you can check us out online. BigKev'sGeekStuff.com.
All true.
All true. If you want to participate in this show, you can go over to the message boards.
Yes.
Click on the forum link right over at the website. Or perhaps leave us a voicemail over at the GVM line.
425-920-6050.
See, now we got some of the self-plugs out.
Right.
Now we can do this.
Geek Stuff, what's in the news?
Good, I feel better about that.
Now you can do the controversy.
So many, many people wrote, called, emailed, text, all sorts of communiques saying that I was mistakenly saying last week that it was Paul Levitz's fault that all this Watchmen prequel stuff is happening. When in fact it is not Paul Levitz's fault, it is Dan DiDio's fault. So let me just explain. When I started out the conversation about it, I said that at the last whatever major anniversary it was,
right,
they wanted to do a really big thing with the Watchmen.
Correct. Which was figures, right?
Reissue the book. Or there was a whole slew of things that they wanted to do for the anniversary, which
sure.
I'm going to go out on a limb here and say I think was 20 or 25.
Okay.
Okay. And at that time, Paul Levitz was the person behind Let's Do Everything Watchmen.
Right.
Let's do figures. Let's do this. Let's do that. He was the person behind all that. And what I said was is that he was probably this is what he's wanted to do all along. Well, it is the seed that was planted by Paul Levitz years ago, whether he agrees with it now or not. The seed he planted years ago about doing additional things with the Watchmen is what gives us the prequels to the Watchmen today. Now, Paul Levitz is not in charge of DC anymore. It's now Dan DiDio and Jim Lee. And without talking to Jim Lee, I won't blame Jim Lee. Dan DiDio has become a little bit more insane in the last couple of years. So what I meant to say in the middle of that conversation, in the middle of that discussion, what I meant to say was, now that it's Dan DiDio, Dan DiDio is now free to do these things. But one tiny little thing that I didn't agree with some criticism was that Dan DiDio was the one who's preventing this from happening all these years. I don't believe that. Levitz, yes, yeah. Sorry. That Levitz was see, I'm doing it again.
I know.
You can't take like two crazy people and separate them like that. It just is weird. What I meant to say was, what I should have said during that conversation in the last episode was that Dan DiDio is now responsible, and that Paul Levitz, as some people were telling us, Paul Levitz is the guy who's been preventing this all the year. Bullshit. It was Paul Levitz's idea to do all this Watchmen stuff, all of it. And because Alan Moore wouldn't be a part of it, he said, well, fuck you, we're not going to do anything. And Alan Moore said, fuck you. And that's where the rift came from. The rift came from Paul Levitz's relationship with Alan Moore, and Alan Moore's relationship with DC, which is completely over and likely will remain so. And then he took his last book, which was League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, and the Black Dossier was not published by Wildstorm because there was a relationship between Wildstorm and DC. So it is Paul Levitz to start and Dan DiDio to finish the
it's a tag team
approval process that has allowed this probable nonsense, but at least it has good writers and artists to an extent, thing to happen.
Okay.
There.
Fair enough.
I've corrected myself.
All right, we'll move forward then.
And F you to all the people who were like, Dan Levitz, shut up.
We invite the people to do those things.
No, we do.
Because then we can.
And it's fine. But, you know, occasionally, and just occasionally, OG and I are going to get something wrong.
Look,
you know?
Right. We are only human.
Only human beings here. Not perfect.
And look, if we get something wrong, or maybe we blank out on something, or we forgot something, and you want to point it out, that's fine. We take the hit. We'll address it.
And you know what? Call the GVM line.
That's right. Leave a voicemail. 425-920-6050.
See, that's when I say GVM line, you give the number, and when you say it, I give the
number. I'm just going to pre-record it.
It's the bit.
And so I could just...
Drop it in. But, well, the point is, though, is that this is what we want to be happening on the GVM line. You know, those kind of questions and those kind of comments, that's what we want on the GVM line so we can play them out for everybody else. We're not perfect. We'll take the hit, just like OG said.
All right, let's move forward.
Yes, sir.
Trailers at the Super Bowl.
Uh-huh.
We got three we're going to talk about.
So let's talk in general about the commercials about the Super Bowl. Sucked.
It harkened back to the days of a lot of beer commercials. A lot of car commercials, right?
Uh-huh.
And then like a couple of trailers.
So let's talk about the complete foul up of the Volkswagen Star Wars commercial.
All right. I liked the commercial. However, the Star Wars portion of it seemed kind of
tacked on,
forced into it.
It's, you know what it is? It's kind of like they wanted to take the success of the Star Wars kid, of the Vader kid commercial from last year, and they wanted to somehow get some more out of it this year by having Vader somehow magically in the cantina for no reason.
And exactly.
Dr. Esvian or whatever his name, I always forget his name. Doctor, that guy with the fucked up face, death sentence on 12 systems. Yeah. That guy, you know, and then he chokes him out or whatever. Yeah, that's all good and everything, but it, you know, it just,
I don't know.
It's silly.
Make Vader drive in the Volkswagen, something. There should have been a tie-in during the actual commercial itself. The tack-on seemed kind of...
Yeah, tacked on.
Tacked on.
Yeah.
So there was that.
Avengers?
Well, but let's save Avengers.
Okay.
Let's talk about Battleship and John Carter first.
Oh,
and Joe, too.
Three very sad little movies.
All right. In order, Battleship.
Of what?
Of what I thought of them. Battleship is Battleship is exactly what it is.
You know what? If they had called Battleship anything else, no one would care. I mean, no, everybody would be like, wow, that's like a sci-fi movie.
Yeah, it would have been just another, it would have been this year's Battle for Los Angeles.
Exactly. You know what I mean? That's exactly what it looks like.
Exactly. You know, but, you know, and the whole idea of the bubble and the, what, that's exactly, it would have been this year's Battle for Los Angeles.
Yeah.
By making it Battleship or calling it Battleship and opening to, and admitting that it's associated with the game, you just add this immediate level of
trying to ham-handedly make it fit into the movie world is just stupid.
It'll be a popcorn movie. It might do decent, but I'm not holding my breath.
Looking forward to its HBO release.
All right. G.I. Joe and John Carter.
Okay. What, tied?
Well,
all right. Let's take G.I. Joe because it's a sequel.
Okay.
Okay. And again, here we come with the sequels from movies that you didn't expect or want to have sequels.
Right.
AKA Ghost Rider.
Right.
So let's take G.I. Joe for 1 second. The addition of Bruce Willis as the original Joe. No. Wow.
I have to admit, I didn't hate that trailer. Like, I kind of watched it and I was like, all right.
Okay. The Rock is a really, Dwayne Johnson is a really big dude who can hold that really big machine gun. Right. And he's Roadblock, right? Isn't that who he is?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
So I mean, all right. We
Cobra Commander.
Yeah. With the
looked good with the mask.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's all. And the Cobra flags hanging in the White House. I mean, it was just cheese.
You know what though? But I think that one, I think, might get a pass. Like, I think that might be the good kind of cheese.
Oh,
you
know
I mean, like the cheesy goodness.
And what most of the and most of the kind you get from the lid.
Yeah.
And if I understand the premise, most of the team is somehow killed, and it looks like Snake Eyes, Scarlet, Roadblock, and what, one or two other people, I guess, have survived.
Was Timber in there too? Did I hear someone say that? I must have missed that. Isn't that Snake Eyes' wolf? Is it Snake Eyes' or?
It's Snake Eyes' wolf. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. It might have been in there. I didn't take that. Believe me, I missed some of it due to laughing.
Right.
And then once Bruce Willis came on the screen, I was he had lines in that commercial. I couldn't tell you what they were because I was like, oh, you got to be kidding.
And then John Carter.
John Carter
this year's Clash of the Titans.
Well, you shouldn't say that, sir, because Clash of the Titans not only did well, it did well enough to spawn a sequel,
I know,
which is coming out like really soon. Yeah. The trailer's out already for it.
I don't know. You know, Carter got a lot of, it's getting a lot of flack, but
negative press.
But you know what? To me, I don't know. I think I have to see that one to pass final judgment.
You're just saying that because it's Disney.
No, actually, I'm not just... Well, I think Disney plays into it because I think maybe if the audience is a Disney audience, right?
Right.
It might be okay. Like, it's played down. It can't be as bad as Prince of Persia.
Okay, granted. But that said, the what you call it, the buzz on the movie is completely negative.
Yeah, terrible.
I mean, they're like, I believe the executive who was in, I was listening to something on the radio recently that I think the executive in charge of promoting that movie or the promotion company may have gotten
canned,
slaughtered, hung, you know, something really lynched, something really bad.
If you go through the Haunted Mansion, he's now hanging.
Yeah, like, the rest. I think it's a woman too. So I think it would be her hanging.
Yeah.
But I think, I think there is like some serious, like somebody's really getting shit canned for this. But that said, John Carter is based on a comic strip that goes back a long time.
And movies too, right? There were movies that I think.
Were there?
I think so, yeah.
No, I've never seen
them. I think so. I could be wrong. But
and the other point is that it just, I don't know. It's just that, you know what it is? It's that unholy heavy metal alliance of science fiction and Conan type savagery.
Yeah, it's weird. It's,
you know, it just, and he's a Southern officer in the Civil War.
I don't know.
That might be the only part of it that I like. But I mean, the rest of it is just kind of like, I want to see it because I like a good train wreck as much as the next guy.
Right.
But still, it's a little frightening. And what, Avengers you want to close
Avengers
out on?
Would be Avengers would be the last Super Bowl one. Then we have one more trailer to discuss.
Well, the Avengers trailer I thought was appropriate considering how long we have to wait. They've now shown all the characters. They've shown them in action. They've shown some interaction. But what we didn't see, are we talking about the extended version now?
Yeah, yeah.
The extended version of that trailer has a little tag on the end with some words exchanged between Loki. Iron Man and Loki.
Right.
Well, not Iron Man, Tony Stark and Loki. And, you know, they're having some quips back and forth. And again, it's more proof that the movie, as far as funny, was written for
Tony Stark.
For Tony Stark. Yeah. So he's definitely going to have all the best lines. So
Loki's line is, we have an army. And Tony Stark's reply is,
well, we have a Hulk.
Right. And then you get to see the Hulk in a bit of an action sequence.
Right.
I thought it was interesting that you saw the Hulk throughout that trailer, but you didn't catch a glimpse of Mark Ruffalo.
The cream puff that's playing him?
Yeah. I thought that was kind of interesting.
Possibly the worst casting choice ever.
I thought the trailer was a little lackluster.
Yeah.
But again, it's a bit out. Cap's new costume design. It looks like Thor might have a costume change, too.
I think Thor is the same. Cap, though, looks terrible.
Yeah.
So,
what I don't understand with Cap was, not to cut you off, but they were able to capture this really great textured costume.
Yeah, and it felt in Cap. Yeah, it felt right.
You know, it looked like, it was kind of like the studded leather. Studded leather, but you know what I mean?
Puff.
Yeah. And this really does kind of look spandexy.
It does.
Why wouldn't you try to progress that?
Not even progress. Why don't you just give him his threads? Like recreate his threads. Right. It looks too plasticky.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I don't know. Maybe there's some changes that'll be made in the final cut.
I don't know.
But anyway,
I don't know.
I thought it was a little lackluster, but okay. And then the final thing. Final trailer we want to discuss in tonight's episode would be, this was just released this past Monday, the Amazing Spider-Man trailer.
No, that was at the Super Bowl.
No, that wasn't at the Super Bowl. February 7th, that trailer premiered at midnight. It was a big bit to do Monday night.
Are you sure, sir?
Positive. 'Cause
I'm pretty sure I saw that at the Super Bowl.
I don't think so. I'm pretty positive that was, well, look. Maybe someone out there knows, but I think that was positive was the 7th or this past Monday.
Okay, well, let's go on the assumption that it was, and let's just talk about it.
Either way.
I don't care.
I thought it was a bit lackluster.
I'll see it.
I like the new designed web shooter. I hate the look of the lizard.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the lizard. Why can't you give him a snout?
Why does he
have to have that flat Voldemort face?
Why? That's why. You probably hit the nose on the head there.
Yeah, but I mean, look, he's got a cool, decent looking tail. His claws look okay. But why can't you just give him the fucking snout? He doesn't look like the lizard.
Nope.
He looks like the snake. Like,
you know what he looks like? He looks kind of like Louis Gossett Jr.'s character in Enemy Mine.
In Enemy Mine, yes.
Or even better, he looks like, what's his name? From The Last Starfighter.
Yeah.
His co-pilot, whatever. I can't remember his name. I'm embarrassed that I don't remember his name.
But I don't know. Again, I thought it was a bit lackluster. And I read a lot of things this week. People were really excited about it. And they were saying, it looks better than anything Raimi put out.
What? Which, that's ridiculous.
Right. Look. 3 was a travesty. I'll accept that.
Right.
However.
1 and 2.
The first 2, and especially 2, I think 2 in a lot of ways was better than 1.
Uh-huh.
Those were good Spider-Man movies.
Absolutely.
I'm sorry, but whatever. I don't think we needed a reboot again.
Not this early.
It kind of is what it is, and I'll
see
it. We
knew there was going to be a reboot. We're going to say the same thing about Batman in 5 years or 2 years or whatever it is. But, you know, it's... the shame of it is that I want to see it, but I'm not excited to see it. I want to see it because I want to see what they're going to do. And they're using real deep kind of later edition story elements to Peter's family. And they're doing all of that stuff.
Right.
And they're doing all the, you know, he's a super genius who creates the web shooters and all that's all. That's all fine and dandy, but, you know, for kids who came up on the Raimi films...
I will say that I thought Peter felt less awkward.
Yeah.
And I also thought that some of his humor was retained a little bit better maybe than the Tobey Maguire version. But still, I don't know.
It's, but that said, it is what it is. What's his name, that kid that's playing? Andrew something?
Andrew Garfield.
Yeah. Andrew Garfield's a good-looking guy, and he's just like, he looks like emo Peter Parker. You know? Yeah. Like, he's not nerdy at all. Like, yeah. He doesn't look nerdy at all. And Peter Parker looks nerdy. And Tobey Maguire looked nerdy.
Well, yeah. I mean, look, classic Parker was, you know, he wore like, yeah, you know, first of all, he had glasses, but he had, you know, he wore like the sweater.
Vest.
Yeah, the sweater vest and all that. Yeah.
No, I mean, that's like, that's what I mean. No one expected a glasses wearing sweater vest kid. Right. But no one expected emo loser either. Right. And he has glasses like when he's doing science. Yeah, well, I don't know. But then he has whole fight scenes with the mask off. What is that? And he took the mask off. So what is that about?
I saw the fight scene with the mask off, right? And I was trying to figure it out. Was it like supposed to be he was demasked? And that's why, if you notice, like the fight sequence in that, it felt like it was a little sped up. So I don't know. We'll have to see what the final product is. But is it supposed to be like, you know, he's fighting and he's moving so fast?
But the mask flies off.
Yeah, God. Not that the mask flew off, but they couldn't really get a good picture of him. And I don't mean like he was fighting so fast because he's Bruce Lee, but just because of the heat of the moment.
Right.
Look,
crap.
It's speculation. We'll have to see what it looks like. I had one more thing I wanted to bring up.
Okay.
Unless you had a couple things, if you have anything, but I thought we should mention that this coming Sunday, possibly by the time you hear this,
Sunday,
this will have aired. Friend of the show, Kevin Smith, his new show premieres on AMC right after Walking Dead.
Well, it has a nice lead in, I guess.
Comic Book Men.
Yeah.
Leave it at that.
Yeah. I just,
I don't know. To me, it's supposed to be a reality show. From what I understand, but it sounds like it's a scripted reality show.
Yeah.
Like it sounds like it's
like, well, no. Now, let's be clear. All reality shows, with the exception of Survivor, are scripted. And you know what I mean reality shows, like Pickers.
Right.
Like American Restoration, like Pawn Stars. It's going to be the same thing, but for comic books and that sort of thing.
It doesn't feel like, from what I understand, it doesn't feel like it's going to be.
All those shows have they show up at a house, but you know that they just show up at a house, but somehow the camera angle is over the guy who's in the house.
Yeah.
So I mean, clearly it's not the way it's portrayed, and this is going to be just like
that. Right. And this is pretty much the Tell 'Em Steve Dave podcast,
more or less. Yeah.
And from what I understand, I was listening to an interview with Kevin this past week over on Opie and Anthony. And he was talking he was on earlier this week. He was talking a little bit about how there are these, I don't know if they're cutaways or it's intros. Have you ever seen the Ricky Gervais podcast?
No.
The animated one on HBO?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So apparently he's in the episode. Kevin is in the episode in that kind of capacity. Like the episode starts out with him and the guys from Tell 'Em Steve Dave.
Right.
Kind of like, you know, explaining what's about to happen.
Right.
And then they show I don't know. It seems very.
Yeah.
I don't have high hopes. I'm not going to lie, but we'll see, you know,
there's a bunch of blind loyal followers that'll watch it just because Kevin's involved in it. Or are those characters, Walt Flanagan. And
look, I mean, I'd love for it to be good. I'd love for it to be a success. I just don't know that it's going to be.
I would rather watch the other one that we talked about.
Toy Hunters? Or Geek Love.
Toy Hunters.
Either one of those.
Geek Love.
Oh, I liked Geek Love.
No, I didn't like Geek Love.
So anyway, so then, of course, we mentioned as well, Walking Dead is coming back this week too. So
yes, so we should also mention that we will be attending International Toy Fair.
That's right.
So next week, get your ears on for some toy reporting. We will be spending a glorious 4 to 5 hours at Hasbro this Saturday.
Right. Assuming my battery doesn't die, I'll try to live tweet some of that information.
Yes, we're going to make sure that phone is charged this year. So there's that. And then, of course, we have the Jacob Javits, the entirety of it on Sunday, assuming we get through it all.
That's right.
And, you know, we're going to Lego.
It's Sunday morning.
7 a.m.
At the crack ass of dawn.
Yeah, and they'll have a continental breakfast.
Let me tell you, though, last year, as much as I griped about being there at the crack ass of dawn, I actually really enjoyed
the Lego
breakfast.
Oh,
I liked how they handled it.
Yep.
I liked the freedom
of
the event.
Yeah. And the stuff they showed was great. And this year apparently is going to be even better because Lord of the Rings.
Yes. A lot of these tours that you go on, they kind of force you to have a tour guide.
Yeah.
Who kind of doesn't know the product quite as well as we do.
Bandai. Right.
And you have a million questions. And 9 times out of 10, we know the answers better than they do.
Right.
And what I really liked about Lego was, here's kind of our presentation.
Right.
This is some of the announcement we have.
Go to it.
Walk the showroom.
Go look around.
And if you have a question,
ask.
Find one of us.
There's 10 of us here.
There's some food.
Yeah. Continental breakfast.
Enjoy yourselves. It was a really nice event. I really liked the Lego event.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
On what continent is fucking rolls and juice fucking breakfast?
I
never understood continental juice, breakfast and tea.
Maybe you get like a mealy piece of honeydew.
Yeah. What you get them little mini bagels that are kind of hard. And they have like...
Someone defrosted Lenders that morning.
Mini muffins. Yeah. They're all dry. Ugh.
I like the Toy Fair breakfast too. It's in the press room. You know, the little press room. It's the same thing.
It's the same exact thing.
But all of that being said, I do like the Lego event. Lego's got some big licenses.
Butter, no cream cheese, just plain bagels.
Yeah. Fend for yourself. Here's a really dry bran muffin. Yeah. Good luck.
Good luck. Butter. What's butter?
All right. I think with that, we probably could take our first break.
Yes.
With Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 238.
Stumbling there a little.
Did we actually announce the name of this episode? I think we missed that.
It's at the Phantom Release.
The Phantom Release.
You know,
that's right.
Kind of like, you know, when it comes out, but it doesn't really make a sound.
That's right.
But it's kind of a stinker.
A real stinker.
You can make the association, I'm sure. And we'll be right back.
What's up, everybody? It's Jay from the Masters of None podcast on Simply Syndicated and, of course, at mastersofnone.com. We've had some fine shows lately. Tell them what we've had, Art.
We've had some great celebrity interviews booked by yours truly with Danny Trejo and Jim Brewer.
Yes, of course, and we've also had the Poser's Guide to Canada as well as the wonderful Nerd Off Back to the Future versus Star Wars that someone happened to win. That would be myself.
And of course, lots of ego stroking and insults galore. We're the comedy podcast that doesn't suck. Check us out. We're the Masters of None.
And we are back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 238, The Phantom
Release.
Damn, I forgot. Falling into my old ways already. Didn't take long.
Four episodes.
That's it.
Can't remember the title of the show.
Memory starts going right out the window.
Damn.
Don't forget.
Old.
Don't forget, if there's anything you want to talk about that we talked about in the first segment of tonight's show.
Or anything at all.
You can give us a call over at the GVM line.
425-920-6050.
And with that, why don't we move right forward?
No, I don't think we should do that.
No?
I think we should mention the tell a friend contest.
We should mention the tell. Did you notice? I got the rules up.
I did notice. and then I sent you a corrected version of the rules. Because your grammar, punctuation, and spelling is what we would call atrocious.
Listen, I left out a couple commas.
Yeah.
I made a spelling error or two.
Yeah.
It happens. I wasn't using...
Why look professional when we can look half-assed?
I wasn't using Firefox at the time. I rely on Firefox to correct my spelling errors.
You cannot rely on, you know, type that shit in Google Mail and let it correct, and then copy-paste.
All right. Noted.
Anyway, the rules are up for our tell a friend contest.
That's right.
I understand we're getting tons of entries.
We got a good amount over the last week. So I guess the rules being on the website certainly helped.
I told you.
Numbers I noticed were up a little this past week.
There are three, count them, three.
Yes.
Three ways that you can enter this contest for prizes de significant.
That is correct.
These are going to be big prizes. Stuff right out of OG's collection.
That's right.
And
I can't promise that anything is boxed.
Hey, do you like Speed Racer, my friend?
That's right.
Speed Racer helmet. No, absolutely not one of the prizes.
So let's just quickly, we'll name the three categories.
Okay.
It's the remind a friend category.
Right. So that's for if you know someone that listened to the show in the past and maybe isn't aware that we're back on. If you tell that person, remind them and tell them that we're back on, and they write us an email at geekstuffog@gmail.com.
That's right.
And they say in that email, hey, so-and-so reminded me that you were back on, and now I'm listening again. That will get you each one entry in that category.
Right.
Right? Is that how that works?
That's correct. And then there's the tell-a-friend category.
Ah, tell-a-friend. This would be for if you have a friend that has not listened to the show, but you tell them, hey, you know what? I think you'd really like the show. Check it out. And they listen and they send us an email saying, hey, my friend so-and-so told me about your show, so I decided to check it out and I dig it now. Then the person who referred them and the person who was the new listener, they will both get one entry into that category's prize.
That's right. And then the tell a stranger.
Tell a stranger. You just go up to some dude on the street,
right,
and be like, hey, my name is so-and-so. I, you know, it doesn't have to be on the street. It could be at a con or a show or a comic book store, wherever it is that you are. And you go up to somebody and say, hey, you know, I overheard you talking about such and such, and I think you might like this show. Check it out. Here's the address. My name is so-and-so. Here's my email or whatever. And if you write them and say that, you know, I referred you and that you're now listening, we both have a chance to win fabulous prizes.
That's right.
So, yeah. So that's all three categories.
And let me just say that you should not assume that anybody you know or talk to that you think might already listen to the show, maybe because you've mentioned it to them in the past or something like that, actually listens to the show. Just this past week, right?
Right.
We've been doing this for how long? 6 years?
Something.
Almost. This past week, somebody on the Twitter said to me, hey, I didn't know you guys did a podcast. I only knew about the SiriusXM show. How about you plug that sometimes? And I responded. I was like, dude, I plug it like 100 times the day the new episodes come out.
Right.
And he was like, I must have missed it. I was blind. I didn't know. So that's a dude who listened to us on SiriusXM.
Right.
Didn't know we had a podcast. Now he's listening to the podcast regularly.
Right.
Right. So maybe someone was like, he must know the podcast is around. Never assume.
Never assume.
Tell somebody.
That's right. Better safe than sorry.
That's right.
And you might get yourself entered in for a fabulous prize.
That's correct.
So we're very excited about this. We're very excited about the prizes. We are going to mention the prizes before the end of the contest, but we don't want to do it out of the gate. We want to make sure that, you know, people are doing the contest before we start entering the prizes.
Right.
Or talking about them.
Okay, let's do this.
Geek Stuff, DVD news.
All right, DVDs this week. Not a lot.
Were there any?
Well, Lady and the Tramp Blu-ray edition.
Okay, that's important. Sure. Disney films on Blu-ray is important.
Right. Again, this is the Diamond Edition, which is the two-disc Blu-ray DVD combo. And they, I believe this is like Disney has been doing, which I'm a huge fan of.
Right.
By the way, they do the two different kinds of packaging. They do the DVD packaging.
Right.
And then they also do the Blu-ray packaging.
Right.
So that if you are displaying one or the other, or you have shelves that are sized a certain way, you could pick up either one. It'll fit into your collection nicely.
Right.
Kudos to Disney.
Nice.
Disney. A Very Harold and Kumar 3D Christmas.
Okay.
Just felt like mentioning it. You know what? I actually liked the first two.
Uh-huh.
In that kind of, I really just want to check my brain at the door kind of way.
Okay.
But let me check this out.
Sure.
So the third one's out. And then the third one I wanted to mention, I don't know if you saw this, but I really wanted to see it when it hit theaters and I didn't get to. Anonymous. Did you see this
Oh,
one?
No. Is this the Shakespeare
this
one?
This is the Shakespeare one.
Oh, no, I heard it was terrible.
Was it terrible?
Yeah,
was it ill-received?
I heard it was ill-received.
All right. I'll have to wait till it hits the Netflix.
I would like to see it though, which means, I'm probably going to be like you and Netflix or
right.
Cabal.
So yeah, that was it. Kind of a light week in the DVD.
Geek Stuff. Comic news.
Smell that? That's the smell of new comic books.
A couple of comics this week that came out.
Yes, sir. Some single issues to check out. Well, in the sense that they're single and ongoing.
Right.
From our friends, at Marvel. This is Wolverine and the X-Men number 5.
Ooh, a lolly.
You know, now there's two kind of core X-Men books. It's Uncanny X-Men,
right,
which is like the Cyclops team, and right. Wolverine the X-Men, which is like the Wolverine team. I still haven't read Schism. I still don't know why this happened,
right,
but that's what it is. But more importantly, they are really promoting it's coming only 2 months until Avengers versus X-Men.
It's that soon?
I don't think I could care less.
I thought that was a summer thing.
I don't know.
I guess not. Well, 2 months.
Well, 2 months.
March, April.
That means
April, yeah.
If it kicks off all slow, it'll be a spring-summer event because you know it'll go on forever.
Right, right.
Yeah, and I have to be honest with you, I don't really know kind of what's going on in this book. I've just read issue one. They're at issue five. I have to say I wasn't overly impressed with issue one. Although,
but why are you still reading it? Let me ask you that question.
I don't know. It's like a drug.
See, you got to stop the drugs.
I know. I've stopped a lot.
I know you have, but I found that if I can't get past issue like two, for example, yeah. I'll give it two issues. I can't guess pit. Then I'm
okay.
Done.
Well, I haven't given it two issues yet. So I've only read one.
I know, but you should just break down and read two, because if you hate two, now you got three, four, and five. We line a birdcage with it. What are you going to do with it?
Nothing. Put it in that box I'm selling.
That's right.
From Dynamite Entertainment, it is Zorro Rides Again, number 8 of 12. This is a 12-issue miniseries about the return of Zorro. And I have to say, in sharp contrast, this is written by Matt Wagner,
right,
and the artist is John K. Snyder III, who I believe was the artist on one of those Marvel, big Marvel Jim Alex Ross kind of plotted with Jim Krueger.
Oh, like Earth X.
Earth or... X. I believe he was the okay. artist on Earth X, if I'm not mistaken. I have to say, Matt Wagner, besides being a really great artist, is a really terrific writer, at least in this genre.
I like Matt Wagner, and out of all the pulpy characters that we reference, I like Zorro the most.
So there you go. And this only has four issues left to go, and then I don't know if there's going to be more Zorro.
Nope, but it will be traded.
And OG will hop on.
That's right.
And lastly, and probably the best of the bunch, it's Batman and Robin number 6 from DC Comics. They still have not employed the new logo yet. I'm wondering when that's
rolled out. That rollout is soon.
Yeah, I thought it would be this month, but no. And it's Above the Skies of Gotham, Dark Knight Battles Demon Seed. And it looks like Batman is going one-to-one with Robin, a.k.a. Damian.
Right.
Peter J. Tomasi, the writer on this. Patrick Gleason, the penciler. and this is... You know,
is what it is.
Yeah, it's you know what I have to say, as the Batman books go, this one's pretty weak.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest with you,
but
I think
still Batman,
the straight up good. Batman books, I've given up on all of them except for Batman and Detective. All the peripherals.
Are you reading? You're not reading Red Hood and the Outlaws?
Oh, I am reading Red Hood.
Red Hood and the Outlaws is a pretty good book.
I am reading Red Hood.
Oh, you're reading it because what's his name is in it?
Well, that was the impetus
yes.
behind checking it out. But yeah. I've actually been enjoying
Speedy.
That.
Speedy.
Yeah.
Speedy.
Not
shooting up on the cover with
no
Speedy.
Halloween.
Get it?
Ugh. I get it.
Hate that character. In the trade set, well, I mean, I hated him when he had two arms. He's probably much more interesting now. In the trade section tonight, this is Star Wars Omnibus A Long Time Ago, Volume 5.
Okay.
So, and I think if I'm not mistaken, this collects issues 86 through 107, the final 22 U.S. published issues of Marvel Comics Star Wars series from the 80s.
I was going to say, how many more of these things can there be?
No, this is it.
I feels like there's a new one of these things like
now it says
a couple months.
Now it says the US published. I'm wondering if that's an indication. Maybe there's some, maybe did it continue in the UK Marvel
I don't know.
Books? Well, I guess we'll find out if they put out another one yeah. called Long Time Ago in England.
In England.
But yeah, it's absolutely awesome. Like all of these are, it's gonna run you $25, but it's 22 issues.
What is it, Lieutenant Sebastian?
Yeah, exactly.
It's the Rebel, sir.
So check it out. Everything is here. I don't know how this falls canon wise. I don't know if this is accepted canon or not.
I didn't think that those were accepted canon.
I think they are.
Really?
Yeah, and I think some of it is selective. You know, I think they made some things, they made some changes or revisions later on.
Revisionist history?
Yes, sort of. Yeah.
Stormtroopers invented everything?
I don't think it's that.
Oh.
Hoo hoo. but lastly tonight, in the book section, this is the Star Wars Millennium Falcon Owner's Workshop Manual.
This is like what if you were a mechanic trying to give the Millennium Falcon an oil change?
That's exactly what this is. And it not only goes through the Falcon, it goes through the Falcon class of ships.
Right, right.
The YT-1300 configurations, yeah. If I'm being...
Tells you what size wiper blade you need.
Right, Carillion. Yeah, yeah, it's got all that stuff. It, and it literally tells you, I mean, look, escape pods, where they are, boarding ramp, recreation, emergency equipment, the crew quarters.
It's probably got shit in it that wasn't actually in the Millennium Falcon.
Topographic sensors. Yeah, all of the hardware, and it actually goes into detail as to where all of these things are.
Let me ask you this.
Yes.
Is this the first of this series of books, or have they been doing these and this is just...
This is the first one like this. You're thinking maybe of the cutaway books.
Right. I remember the cutaways.
Right. This is not a cutaway book. This is supposed to be, like, I think the point behind this, I think that this is supposed to be like a mock actual
guide.
Sort of guide. Like exactly like
owner's manual.
Like if you owned it, exactly.
All right. So who's putting this out? Is this DK as well? It looks like it's somebody different,
right? It's Lucas Books.
Oh, okay. So it's licensed.
Right. And it's Hayes Publishing.
Okay.
So I'm not sure who Hayes Publishing is.
Well, I gotta tell you,
Del Rey is also involved. Originally published in the United Kingdom by Hayes Publishing.
Right. So having thumbed through that before the show. I'd like to see this series continue.
Well, I don't think there's another shit. This is like that. You remember, not a cutaway, but you remember that book where you opened it? It like peeled off a layer. It's kind of, I think they're doing that because the Millennium Falcon is like one of the most popular spaceships of all time.
What would
be the follow-up ship?
The Slave One and that class of ship.
That's interesting. Yeah, you know, I guess
a TIE fighter.
But I always got the impression that the Slave One was kind of a custom job in many ways.
Yeah, well, maybe. We don't know. We don't know that for sure. But
that's true.
But, you know, it's the reason the expanded universe exists is because all someone has to do is write it down and suddenly
have Lucas approve it.
Right. So,
yep.
But all I'm saying is if they approach that with other popular class ships, it could be a land speeder. Could be interesting.
Yep.
I'm just saying.
It's clown car. Cutaway clown car.
All right.
Let's move forward. That's pretty much books. I'm glad we had a few Star Wars things in there, you know, because this is the week, of course, that Episode One is released in theaters again on the big screen.
That's right. In the 3D.
Yeah, and really the last 20 minutes of the movie is probably really worth it. So if you're going to see another movie and you snag some of those glasses and you try to time it out just right, you can you may be able to just sneak in, see the duel, and then sneak out, and you'll probably have gotten the best of it.
I'm going to say this, even though I know that it will draw ire from people.
Ooh, ire.
I want to see it. The whole thing, from start to finish. I want to go and watch it again. All of them.
Why?
All six.
Oh, I do too, but I'm curious to know why you want to.
Because, you know, as I think back over all six, right, I understand that Episode One certainly was weak. Right. And it had a lot of flaws, and it was the kickoff to what was a bad, to some bad things, right? The midichlorians and all that horseshit.
Oh, yeah.
All of that kind of stuff.
They really didn't mention it again after Episode One.
They were like,
though.
Ooh. But
fucked up there.
But really, I'm still a Star Wars fan.
True, through and through. Me too.
And it's an opportunity to see it on the big screen. It's an opportunity. Look. The pod race, whether you liked it or not, I think will look great in 3D.
I know, and I agree, and I think that's probably the second scene that's worth seeing.
And just as a general Star Wars fan, someone who did overall enjoy the movies, still enjoys the movies.
Right.
I'm not one of those fuck Lucas. I'm not one of those guys. I hate him sometimes. He does some stupid shit, but I want to see it. I want to see all six of them. I want to enjoy that theatrical experience.
Are you going to take your boy?
No.
Tie the glasses onto his infant head.
No, and not because I don't want him to see them, because I don't want to be that dad with the screaming kid in the theater.
Yeah,
I'm hoping by the time New Hope comes out,
maybe.
He'll be old enough.
Maybe.
Maybe Episode 3, maybe Sith. Sit down and watch the first two at home and get the Sith. He'll be 3, 4 maybe at that point, so that might be okay. We'll see.
It's one a year, right?
Yeah.
So he'll be 2. Oh, no, 3.
He'll be 3 going on 4, depending on when it comes out.
Right.
Yeah.
Plan.
Geek stuff. Product reviews.
All right. Product. You have that. I have this.
All right. You want to flip for it?
No, let's do that first.
No, we should close out on this because it's kind of related to the theme of the show.
Let's do this then.
So that's, you got some new, it looks like a new Kid Robot series.
Yeah, these actually came out probably, I don't know, I'm going to say a week or two ago.
Okay.
And, or maybe 2 weeks ago, probably something like that. Yeah.
And this is the Fat Cap
Series 3. Fat Cap Series 3. Uh-huh. It is Kid Robot. It's a platform toy.
Right, right. Like the Dunnies we've discussed in the past.
And it is a blind box series.
Uh-huh.
So you don't know where it's again.
Right.
The platform in this case is a little spray can, a little Fat Cap graffiti can.
Right.
Yeah. For, and again, much like the other series, they've gotten a bunch of artists to put their design on the platform. And again, I like that they haven't, some of the artists kind of get away from.
Don't we know Sket One?
The platform. Well, I mean, he's on your Herd show. He actually was going to be a guest of ours at New York Comic Con like 2 years ago.
Oh.
But he had some stuff come up and moved out west. But we know John Paul Kaiser.
Oh, we do?
Yeah, we met him at we had dinner with him at the Noodle House.
Oh yeah.
When we were at New York Comic Con this past year.
We did?
Yeah. Glasses. Big guy, British.
Oh yeah, I like that guy. And this is one of the really great designs on here too.
Absolutely. Yeah,
looks like a little spaceman.
I love. Yeah. So you'll see some pictures of these. I'll throw some pictures in there. But this one, the John Paul Kaiser one, the top of the spray can is translucent. I believe. I think it's translucent.
It kind of gives the impression that it is.
And you have the you
and
have
has
the
little head in there.
The little head in there.
And it's like a space, like a little dome suit. Yo, you've got to score me one of those.
Look, I'll do my best.
You are the one who knows how to do these things. I count on you for these.
Look,
do you know that there's a John Paul Kaiser
Chase?
Chase?
I know.
That means there's two of these things that I have to have now.
You also have to have the Kronk.
Oh, I know. I just saw that. The Kronk looks like a little, like, very familiar white armored clad trooper from a certain space series that I happen to enjoy.
That's right.
So yeah, I'm going to have to get, so it looks like I'm down for at least two or three of these.
The
chase
on the John Paul Kaiser, it's like black and white.
Oh yeah.
But it's nice. It's a nice looking,
it's still a spaceman.
It is still a spaceman. You know what it looks like? It looks like the NECA black and white turtles.
Okay.
It's like, that kind of black and
like
white.
Like illustrated.
Yeah. It's not like the black and white Dunnies.
Right, right.
Okay. It's more like that NECA black and white turtle. And then, of course, some of the other artists.
What's he going for? Did you look him up on eBay?
No, I haven't looked him up on eBay yet. Some of the other ones in here, the Julie West one, because I happen to collect Julie West stuff.
Oh, yeah.
I want that.
I remember Julie.
I really like the, Sket one, which is the little paint can kind of pouring into the
pouring
top.
Onto
that's a really nice one. The MCA 2, I'm not a huge fan of the design,
troll heads.
but it's actually hair.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's actually hair. I like the Shock one, which is the grenade looking one, and they added the pin pull to the front of the Fat Cap. The Flying Fortress one is really cool. I mean, look,
A couple of them are really cool.
Yeah, well, check them out. Some really great designs.
You know, you can go over to the website, Big Kev's Geek Stuff, and you can click on the image gallery for this episode, and you can see some of the ones that OG is talking about here. And if you're listening to the show on, here we go, iPhone, iPad, iPod Touch, QuickTime, those sorts of things that will enable you to have images,
and soon the website.
Yes, you'll be able to see the images of the things that we're talking about right as we're talking about them. It's a technology that we enjoy.
So I'm gonna say that the John Paul Kaiser is the best one in the line.
And what's the running price on these?
These are these retail $9.99, $10, depending on where you grab them. Ow. I mean, I happened to pick these ones up at Urban Outfitters the other day, and they were $10 there. But I think like they're $9.99 at Kid Robot.
Well, you know, we probably would like to do more with these. Maybe we'll get some of these to give away on a
future like we did with the Dunnies. Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely, that'd be great.
I'm gonna make that phone call.
Nice.
Or that email or what have you. All right, and lastly tonight we want to talk about a product from Sideshow Collectibles.
That's right.
And it's not one thing, OG, it's two things.
Wow, very fancy.
They're in one box. And it's appropriate. What we're talking about tonight is the Battle Droids.
Right.
Brand new 1/6 scale Battle Droids from the Militaries of Star Wars collection.
So this is 12 inch, correct?
12 inch, yeah.
Okay.
And what's great about them is, number one, they have not cheaped out collectors by putting one of these skinny little bitches in a box. They've done two of them. What's more exciting even, though, is how they put them in the box.
Yes.
They've put them in the box, and OG will have a picture of this. They put them in the box the way that they load onto the mobile transport that we've been talking about for the last couple of weeks, where they're all kind of folded up. So you have two of them folded up in the box. They have a variety of accessories with them, backpacks and blasters. There's three backpacks, so I'm guessing one of them must denote some sort of ranking or something, I'm guessing.
Okay.
And there's two blasters, and that's basically what you get. You're getting a fully articulated version of these battle droids. These are the ones seen, of course, in episode 1 and 2 and 3, but most importantly in episode 1, the big battle between these battle droids and the Gungans. Yeah, and they're really, you know, they're fully articulated, as we said. It looks like, from my angle, it looks like you can get them in any sort of pose that you want to get them.
Right.
Army builders will enjoy the fact that they're two per box.
And we should say that the one we happen to have here in studio is the Sideshow exclusive version.
Okay, yes. Now, what's significant about that?
The difference is that one of the backpacks on one of the droids is detailed with a specific droid identification, 1138.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah.
That's the... All right. Well, that explains the three backpacks.
So for those of you who... that's probably the third backpack is the 1138. Okay. So for those of you who don't know the significance of the 1138, do you want to elaborate on that?
No, I don't know, OG. Do you want to elaborate?
Sure. Lucas's first film before he got into the Star Wars world, right?
Uh-huh.
Was THX 1138, a little known sci-fi film.
Yep. And they constantly reference this.
Constantly.
In all of the Star Wars paraphernalia.
Like, and even like the DVDs. Like there's a bunch of DVD Easter eggs that are unlocked by pushing 1138 on your pad. It's, it's something that kind of is in the background of a lot of Lucas-related things. So
exactly.
That's the significance.
Yep. So not much to say about it. I don't know what the retail is on these, and I don't know.
$119.99.
Oh, well, there you go. For two, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
And I think that they are still available over at Sideshow Toy.
The exclusive edition is on waitlist.
Okay.
The regular edition is in stock.
Nice. Is the regular edition the same price?
$119.99.
That's great. And you get two of them in a box. So when you break it down, it's about $60 a piece, which is really good, for figures of this quality, Sideshow quality figures. I mean, if we haven't said it enough before, what, OG?
Over 20 points of articulation.
Yeah.
I mean, I know we said they were hyper articulated. Oh, that's a lot. For a 12-inch figure, that's nice.
Well, yeah. I mean, if you look at it, ankle, knee, hip on both sides, so that's six.
Hands, too, right? It looks like there might be some articulation in the fingers.
Well, I'm just going up the body. So waist would be 7. Neck, 8.
Right.
I'd say the top, the head also, 9. Shoulders, 10, 11. Elbows, 12, 13. Then at the forearm, they have 1, 14, 15. Then the wrists, 16, 17, and the fingers, looks like they have what, like 3 fingers apiece? Yeah. 18, 19, 20, 21?
Yeah.
Is that what it was?
It's 20 plus, so
20
yeah.
plus. Well, I count 21, so.
So there you go.
Yeah, so I'm assuming that that's correct. I think I've hit them all there. Yeah, they look great. I mean, if you're any kind of fan of the prequel films, you'll certainly enjoy these if you have a Star Wars display, 12-inch display. I mean, you certainly could use these for a variety of things. You wouldn't have to display them. You know, I would like to display, you know, like one of the commanders holding one of them up by its neck.
By its neck? Yeah, absolutely. You know,
something like that you could definitely do with these. They're articulated enough to be useful in that capacity.
Sure.
And yeah, I think they're really great. Sideshow just knocks everything out of the park, man, even battle droids. So and we're looking forward to talking more about Sideshow products as we move along.
And I think we will take our final break.
Yes, we will, OG, and we'll be right back with the wrap-up of Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 238, The Phantom Release.
Bitch, what you don't know about me, I just about squeezing the Grand fucking Canyon.
Hey, it's Kevin Smith, Big Kev's love slave.
Did you know I always wanted to be a dancer in Vegas?
Then you're listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
What do you look so shocked for, man? Fat bastard does this all the time. He thinks just because he don't say anything, it'll have some huge impact when he does open his fucking
mouth. Jesus Christ, why don't you shut up?
And we are back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 238, The Phantom Release. Well, thanks for sharing.
That wasn't a phantom release.
No, that was
terrible.
That was inappropriate.
I'm sorry.
You should be.
OG, what did we? Oh, we can't do that.
No, we have to do other things.
We have
first.
To talk about the
superpower collectibles. That's right.
We're not supposed to do it with humor anymore. We're supposed to be deadly serious. No,
that is not what he said.
That's what
he said. I read into it.
I can read between the lines. OG,
he said he loved. He said he loved the humor. Maybe we should stay away from wine and massage.
I'm going to tell you something right now. You need to go over to Superpower Collectibles.
Maybe get free oil change.
You must need to buy something in the geek world. You must want to save money.
Right.
And if you go over to superpowercollectibles.com, you find that thing you want to buy, and it's, what, $50?
Right.
If it's over 50, but select three things. You know you're going to buy them anyway. If you're out there looking for them, try Superpower Collectibles first.
That's right.
Then you enter Big Kev into the coupon code, and you get 20% off. 20%.
And like we talked about last week, he's expanded the site. Comic books now, statues, toys. He got everything. You need it, he got it.
You get $10 off a $50 order.
It's great.
So if it's not 20%, it's only 20% if you exactly hit 50, right?
Yeah, I think that's what it is.
$10 off.
Off of 50, right. It's not 20%
or
off.
More.
It's $10 off of 50.
Because I don't want guys ordering $12,000 worth of stuff and be like, yo, why didn't I
get
my
20%? Where's my oil change? $400
off. You have to stop.
Coupon for a donut.
We're supposed to be being serious.
Cup of coffee.
Free donut comes smushed in the box with your item.
Come a little baggy, kind of. No,
that's terrible.
They don't do that. Quality stuff.
Listen, superpowercollectibles.com. Just go over there and order something. You're helping the show. You're helping yourself by saving $10 on an order of $50 by using the coupon code BIGKEV. You're helping Superpower Collectibles. You're helping everybody.
And like I said, he's expanded the site. He's expanded the product category. You got to go and at least check it out.
Got to go.
Check out the link. There's a link right on the website. You'll see the pretty little banner. Click on that. And,
there you go.
Look-see.
Yep. OG, what did we talk about on this episode of Big Kev's Geek Stuff?
We talked about a plethora of trailers, all of which were lackluster.
Yeah, pretty much.
Some highlights in a couple of them.
Yeah.
You know, we have a Hulk. Best part of that trailer, in my opinion.
Yeah, it might be the best of the bunch, just that exchange between Stark and Loki.
Absolutely. Avengers was definitely the best of the bunch. And then, of course, the other thing we discussed in the news tonight was Comic Book Men. Check that out this week on AMC. And you know what? Let us know what you think.
Yeah, I would be interested to hear what people think. And they can do that over at the GBM line.
425-920-6050.
And leave us your comments, and you may hear yourself on an upcoming episode of Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
That's right. In DVDs tonight, not much going on.
Is there no other news? Just those?
No, we spent a lot of time talking about them trailers.
Oh, yeah.
We talked about five trailers.
Okay, you're right.
When you think about it, that was our news this week.
All right.
Really, the biggest one, Lady and the Tramp, out on Blu-ray. Harold and Kumar Christmas, also I mentioned. And what was it? Oh, Anonymous. Oh, you know what I didn't mention and I should have?
No.
Downton Abbey, season 2 out on DVD this week. Have you watched that yet?
No.
I'm actually really enjoying it. Maggie Smith is fantastic. I'm just saying.
You're a disgrace. In comics this week, we talked about a couple of issues to check out. The Wolverine and the X-Men number 5. Zorro Rides Again number 8. And Batman and Robin number 6. We also recommended the Star Wars Omnibus. I didn't mention earlier that this is from Dark Horse Comics.
That's right.
Even though it's republishing Marvel Comics from the 80s. It's Star Wars Omnibus, A Long Time Ago, Volume 5, reprinting issues 86 through 107, the last 20 episodes, or issues rather, of the Marvel Star Wars comics from the 80s. And also in the Star Wars category this week, it's the Star Wars Millennium Falcon Modified YT-1300 Carillion Freighter Owner's Workshop Manual.
Right.
So everything you've ever wanted to know about the ship, the nice little faux
tech manual, or introduction manual, I guess is the right way to put it.
And of course, in our third segment tonight, we discuss some product. Fat Cat Series 3 by Kid Robot, another platform blind box series by them. I'm saying that John Paul Kaiser is the highlight of the series, although there are some really strong other designs. He's just my number one.
18 of those, I think, in that set.
Sure.
I think that's what it was. And then, of course, we talked about Sideshow Collectibles, Star Wars, Militaries of Star Wars, Battle Droids, 1/6 scale. These are really terrific.
Right.
Two in the pack, run you about $120. We talked about the exclusive edition with the exclusive 1138 backpack. They are really terrific. Check them out over at Sideshow Toy. And check out everything Sideshow does over at SideshowToy.com.
Of course, don't forget to check us out online over at BigKevsGeekStuff.com, where you can find all of our episodes. Our YouTube videos are up there. Our blogs are up there. Of course, some of our other sponsors that we don't mention on the show are up there.
Yes.
Check those guys out as well. Friends of the show. All good people. You should be clicking on those links. Facebook.com/BKGeekStuff. Over at Twitter, @BKGeekStuff and @GeekStuffOG. And I think that's it.
I think you're right. And with that, OG, we will bring to an end this episode of Big Kev's Geek Stuff. And I will end the episode as I end all episodes by saying, good night, Just Mike, wherever you are.
And on that note, we cue the music.
Should come to this. We try to warn you all, but oh dear. You may not share our intellect, which might explain your disrespect for all the natural wonders that grow around you. Slug, slug, and face for all the days.
The world's about to be destroyed. There's no point getting all annoyed.
Lie back and let the planet dissolve. Despite those nets of tuna feet, we thought that most of you were sweet, especially tiny, tiny.